Today we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, and I'll go ahead and read. After these things I looked, and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne sat in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things by Your will. They exist and were created." Hallelujah. John was caught up to the very throne of God. It's interesting to note that the church is mentioned 16 times in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. But it's not found in chapters 6 through 18. Could it be that the church won't be on the earth at this time? It's certainly possible. You know, Jesus said in the world we're going to have tribulation. And we talked about that a few weeks ago, the difference between tribulation and wrath. Tribulation means extreme pressure and difficulties, you know, that we all experience to some degree. And some of our brothers and sisters are experiencing a lot more tribulation than we are. You know, but Paul told the church that we were not appointed to suffer God's wrath. There's a difference between tribulation and the wrath of God. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." So Jesus told us, He told His people, to be watchful. To be watchful means to be on guard. You got to guard yourselves. The enemy is like a roaring lion, isn't he? He's looking for an end. He's looking for a way to get at us. So we need to be prayerful. We need to be armored up. And we need to be aware that we're in a war. And as a soldier, we must be vigilant in this battle. God took John to show him a glimpse behind the scenes as to what was happening in heaven itself. So in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, Jesus said, "But take heed to yourselves, pay attention, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly." Guys, I know what it's like, especially to be weighed down with the cares of this life at times. I can find myself sometimes getting caught up in the cares of this life. The enemy is trying to distract God's people from their purpose. Amen? And that is to live out the will of God for us. Verse 35, "For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So the Lord's saying there is an escape. Now, I believe that God has redeemed a people. Amen. He's purifying a people who will be His bride. They will be washed in the blood of the Lamb. They will be in covenant with Him through the new covenant in His blood. Amen. They'll have been prepared because they have, amen, committed themselves to be faithful to the faithful one, to keep themselves when we lift up the cup. Amen. And we say, Lord, I'm in a sense, I'm renewing my vows that I am receiving the cup. I mean, meaning that I am a spouse to you. I receive this. Amen. So from now on, I belong to you. I'm your property. I'm not my own. And you belong to me. And so John said immediately that he was in the Spirit. Sometimes God works that way, doesn't he? He comes upon us immediately. You ever have that happen? All of a sudden it's like God showed up and you know it. He comes upon you in a way that, you know, everything becomes, you know, your spiritual eyes begin to open up. You begin to understand and see and hear things clearer. You all of a sudden you're able to speak things, the oracles or the words of God, you know, that things you hadn't even thought of. All of a sudden God begins to drop them in because the Spirit of God is working, right? But be caught up in the Spirit. I believe that you and I are in the Spirit, but if we're in the Spirit, we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Amen. But I think in this case, there was something unique happened, amen, where he was translator caught up, amen, into the very throne of God, because God wanted to show him some things. And he said a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And so Paul spoke, remember, of a similar experience in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. And many believe that he was actually speaking of himself, but because Paul was a humble man, he wasn't trying to draw attention to others, amen, or to himself from others. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know. God knows such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And we believe that the third heaven, of course, is the very throne of God. And the second heavens would be the cosmos, the stars, the, you know, and then the first heaven would be our atmosphere here in the earth. So the third heaven being where the throne room of God is, he was caught up. And so at times God will take people, amen, into this place. But I really respect Paul's attitude about these things and that he was not in any way trying to draw attention to himself. Now, there's times like with John, for example, where God wanted him to share this report that he did show him of heaven. Okay, so it doesn't mean that every case that if God shows you something that you're supposed to keep it to yourself, amen, but you're supposed to share it. Or what we should do is pray and say, Lord, how do I handle this? What do I do with this dream or this vision? You know, is this appropriate even to share now or with this person, or should I just wait for a different time? Sometimes God will do something in your life, but he doesn't want you to release it at that time. Sometimes God speaks to me about something that he wants me to speak later on. And it's kind of, I'll get like a drop in of this thing, and it's kind of like on the back burner, you know, but it's not for right away. It's up and coming. Same thing when you pray. When you're praying in the Spirit, you know, you can be praying for one person, and already somebody, God is just bringing them to you, and they're just kind of daisy chaining together, and all of a sudden, you know, you're just praying for all these people. Well, you couldn't have thought all these people yourself. The Spirit is reminding you that this is what the Father wants to accomplish. And so when we pray according to his will, he hears us. Amen. So we are in the Spirit, but we're supposed to also walk in the Spirit. That means to maintain a steady course with Jesus. Amen. Submit ourselves to him and deny ourselves in order to do that. And boy, I tell you, there's some days where you can just get so wrapped up and busy with things and that you can find yourself getting thin spiritually. I know none of you have had that happen before, but I've found myself there. We can pray in the Holy Spirit throughout our day, amen? But the enemy, well, sometimes he just comes in and he just tries to get so much stuff going on and so much on your plate that you find yourself saying, I just need some breathing room here, you know? And so we really need to discipline ourselves in prayer and stay connected. And guys, I find that I'm not always feeling like I want to pray or to talk to God. But when I do, God's hearing it. Okay, so the enemy says there's no sense of you even talking to God because God's not listening. There may be some things that God wants me to deal with, of course, in my life, right? Sometimes sin can be a hindrance, but it's not always the case. It's just sometimes that the enemy wants to stop you from talking to God by trying to convince you that God's not listening to you. Because what's he after? He's after your faith. So anyways, John has this experience, going back, and he's being caught up into the very throne of God. And let me just say this. This is a legal experience only when God is in charge of it. You know, being caught away in your soul. Certain pagan circles would call that soul travel, you know, astral projection or whatever. That's when you are actually manipulating this thing in agreement with usually demonic power to be able to travel in your soul, okay, out of your body. That's very dangerous. Amen. You don't want to give anybody charge of your soul except one, Jesus. Amen. And we are not to use our soul like that, because our soul is supposed to be submitted to the Spirit of God. Amen? But in witchcraft, it's the opposite. In witchcraft, it's the soul or the mind of man manipulating the spirit of man, in a sense. You know, and so it's opposite. As a Christian, I am to yield myself to the Lord. I am to pray. If God gives me something or if I have an experience in God because I'm walking with him, okay, and it could be like John unexpectedly, that's good. That's okay. Amen. But if you're trying to make something happen, you get into trouble. You're trying to force this thing to happen or to try to force yourself into having experience. I've shared with you before, but I've heard people say that I can go into dreams and visions at will. That's dangerous, because no, you can't unless you are aligning yourself with the demonic. Because what the devil wants you to do is be God of yourself and not submitting to the God of heaven. Amen. And so he will give you power to do things and so that he can draw you in deeper and get you entrapped in him. You know, at first he makes you think that you're in control and then he takes control. But the Holy Spirit is the one that took charge of John here in a special way. And here he sees God in verse 3. He who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Well, it could possibly be a reminder of God's faithfulness, amen, to keep his promises. That was the rainbow. Remember the bow in the heavens that God gave Noah. Isn't it interesting how the world has taken that and trying to corrupt that even? But the enemy likes to steal the things from God and pervert them. The throne of God. Think about this. You know, the earthly tabernacle that God had Moses erect, you know, was supposed to be a type or shadow of the heavenly tabernacle, you know. And the Ark of the Covenant was there, the mercy seat. And this, which in the Old Testament symbolized the presence of God, right? God's presence on earth. And the cherubim over the cover, you know, of this mercy seat, where God's glory would come down in the earthly tabernacle. And again, everything was designed according to the heavenly pattern so that it would give us a picture of heaven. So there was a Ark of the Covenant, and this was acacia wood, was overlaid with gold, but it was gold over wood, which I believe talks about divinity, gold divinity, and wood could be humanity. Amen? God in Christ, okay? God becoming a man. We see a picture of Christ throughout the tabernacle, and in heaven itself, amen, is a picture of Christ. And inside this box were the tablets of the law, remember? The Ten Commandments. Aaron's rod that budded, and then this pot of manna. Now think about this. Jesus is the lawgiver, amen? It's a type of Christ, right? And Jesus is the resurrection. What was that? Aaron's bud, right? I mean, his staff that budded. So speaking about life out of death, all right, resurrection, the rod that budded, and the bread of life, the pot of manna, speaks also of Christ, who is our bread. I am the bread of life. Amen. So interesting how everything was put in its perfect order, how God specifically instructed Moses and how to, you know, to build this tabernacle. And later, of course, Solomon and others had built temples. But the scene here is really similar to that, isn't it, to the Old Testament tabernacle, what John is seeing here, because, again, it was a pattern of the heavenly. And in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, this is speaking about the priests, the priesthood. They who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, "You see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." Mm-hmm. And so in Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, this was where the giving of the law took place. Remember, on Sinai. And this was a significant event. I mean, there was thunders and lightnings and people trembled, you know, at the presence of God. Hallelujah, on this mountain. And they didn't even want to go near it. You know, they wanted Moses to go up, amen, to ascend the mountain. And so you see also in heaven itself, the thunder and the lightnings, amen, and around the throne of God. I mean, there's power, amen, unspeakable power in the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And so in Exodus 19:16, it says, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled." And there was some who, I was listening to a Messianic Jew talk about how when the word, the law was going forth through like the shofar, and it was like, it was lighting in the camp, and the people were trembling at the word of God, you know, as it came. And the law, even though Moses had the law written, they were saying that it was like the Lord was speaking from the mountain, you know, over the camp. The 24 elders, who do they represent? Possibly the redeemed of the earth. The fact that they were crowned and enthroned and suggests that they are fellow saints. Look at verse 4. "Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head." So what does this suggest? Possibly these are, what, fellow saints who had already been judged and rewarded. Remember, we have to be clothed in the garments that God supplies, His righteousness, right? And they had been rewarded with crowns, amen? So they had to have been judged. And in the Old Testament, listen, there were 24 Levitical divisions on rotation for the temple service. So again, as it was in the earth, we're seeing a pattern or a type or shadow of the heavenly. There were also 24 priests in the Old Testament who took turns serving in the temple. So you and I today in the new covenant as a member of God's household are also what? A priesthood, a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Hallelujah. What are we supposed to do? Show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, a good way to keep the devil on defensive is to start speaking the truth. See, he wants to get us on the defensive. But God gave us the sword of the Spirit, so we should be keeping him on the defensive. We should be taking territory. We should be overcoming in his name. We should be destroying the works of the devil. And that begins in us, doesn't it? We take charge of ourselves. We refuse to bow down to Baal, like you said, to the enemy of the spirit of this age. Amen. Spirit of Antichrist. We worship the Lord in the Spirit, amen, in spirit and in truth. The Lord strengthens our heart as we pray in the Holy Spirit, amen, so that we are strong on the inside, because a lot of people may appear to be strong outwardly, but if you're not strong inwardly, you have no real strength, no strength of character, amen. So Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, moving on from the throne, there was what? Lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, I'm not going to have time to break down everything here, but I just want to kind of touch on some certain points here. But it's clear, that, again, that this throne is one of judgment, with its terrifying lightnings, its thunderings, and voices. And the seven lamps of fire represent the Holy Spirit in His fullness. There's only one Spirit of God, of course, one Holy Spirit. But the number seven represents perfection and completeness. And we see the different facets or attributes, okay, characteristics of the Lord. And in verse 6, it says, before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And that's interesting. Also, we see in the pattern of the tabernacle in the wilderness, for example, what was it? A laver, right? Where there was water and there was brass mirrors in that, where the priests would wash themselves before they would be able to go in, right? And not without blood, of course. And so what does that speak of? Well, the Bible says that the word is what? We're supposed to be washed in the water of the word. So the word is likened to water, amen, that washes us. So before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures. We believe that these, according to Ezekiel, he had a very similar vision that these are cherubim. And full of eyes, the angelic beings, these powerful angelic beings. And they weren't little babies with tiny wings on them flying around, fat babies that need to be on a diet or whatever, excuse me, but got off track there. But my mom had those things over the couch when we were growing up, and I hated it. I was like, how would you take them down? So, anyways, moving right along. But they were full of eyes in front and in the back. In other words, they're able to see everything that was going on. All right? Now, the sea of glass, again, is like crystal. It tells us that it was that the throne is located in a place of peace and quiet. If you think about it, a glassy sea. You know, I love to be on a lake when it's just so calm, you know. And so you get that. In heaven, there's not going to be any evil, amen. There's not going to be any opposition to the reign of God there, amen. And that's why nothing defiling will be able to enter into that place. Amen. The only way we can come into the throne of grace is by the blood of Jesus. Amen. That cleanses us and sets us apart. There's no opposition from the wicked there, right? And they're like the troubled sea, if you think about it. I can remember Bruce and I, one time, we got on my John boat with a whopping 3-horsepower Johnson on the back and decided to go out in Puget Sound. Yeah. And Bruce had a bucket, fortunately. You know what I'm talking about? I was running that thing, and he was bucketing it because we were taking waves over that thing, and we were like way out at Anderson Island, if you know where that's at, from Steilacoom Dock. We took everything all the way out to, and man, it was scary, but it keeps you humble. You live and hopefully you learn, right? But think about this. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her, what, with the washing of water by the word. Remember when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he says, you are clean by the word which I've spoken unto you. Amen. Because the entrance of God's word brings light. Amen. And where there's light, darkness cannot stay. That's why it's so important that we feed ourselves on the word of God. Amen. That we internalize the word of God, that we hide it, as David said, in our hearts, that we wouldn't sin against God. Now, these four living creatures, let's take a look at these, represent the attributes or qualities and characters of God. The lion, as we know, the king of the jungle, right, speaks of the majesty and power of God. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's why I love the lions, you know. But he is the leader. The lion is the leader among the wild beasts. A calf speaks of faithfulness and endurance and also sacrifice, you know, and leader among all the domestic animals. Man speaks of the Son of Man. I believe the deity of the Lord. Amen. That deity became flesh in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gave mankind charge over all creatures. And of course, Jesus is head over all. Amen? Hallelujah. He said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. So Jesus is also a man. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He is deity and he is man. He is God, amen, and flesh. But he's glorified flesh, amen. He was without sin. So Jesus literally has a glorified physical body in heaven, amen. And he's an example of what we one day will receive when we receive our glorified bodies, hallelujah. So we're not going to be just spirits floating around, amen. We'll have actual bodies. And remember, after the resurrection, Jesus had met with his disciples. Remember, and he ate fish, right, with them. And honeycomb or something, right? Yeah. So how about the eagle? The eagle speaks of sovereignty of God, right? Because he's the one who has overcome the world. And the eagle is the leader among all birds. Isn't it interesting how everything is got its place and it's connected? You know, what we see in the natural is really a pattern in so many ways of what's happening in the eternal and the invisible and the spiritual. And, you know, in heaven there's going to be, you know, a lot of the things that we enjoy here. There's going to be trees and fruit and, you know, and yet it'll be a perfected, a beautiful place where nothing decays. I'm looking forward to a new body someday. How about you? Oh, yeah. So, yeah. And again, you know, Ezekiel in chapter 1, verse 5 through 10, he had a similar, you can look it up later if you like, vision, you know. And in verse 10, it says, these 24 elders, they fall down before the Lord who sits on the throne and worships him who lives forever and ever, the Ancient of Days, amen, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord. You know, nobody, the angels do not understand what it's like to receive grace. They watch us and how we live and conduct ourselves here below. And they see a soul that's been set free. They see an individual who was redeemed and who knows the mercy and the forgiveness, the grace of God. Amen. And so these are casting their crowns before the throne. And they're saying, oh Lord, you're the one who's worthy to receive the glory. Amen. And honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Now, why were we created? The answer is right on the chart. We were created for him, weren't we? We were made for God. And so man, independent of God, is abnormal. He's dysfunctional. And he's not even aware, usually, that he's dysfunctional because he's blind and unable to see clearly. But when we're born again, we come into Christ, we begin to see things differently now. And we begin to think such thoughts as, what was I thinking? And why did I do that? And why was I living like that before? Because you don't see until God allows you to see. When you come into Christ, all of a sudden, he begins to turn the light on and things become clear. And you begin to know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. Otherwise, we kind of pick and choose, you know, according to our own understanding. We make decisions based upon our limited ability to discern, which is usually corrupted by the life that we've lived and the world we've been living in. So we're incapable of really judging ourselves accurately, right? We need the Spirit of the Lord. We need the Word of God and the Spirit working in our hearts to reveal to us the truth about ourselves. And so we got to be careful that we don't let some try to give grace to ourselves, because that kind of grace doesn't save you. It doesn't change you. People that give grace to themselves never repent, see, because they're always okay in their own eyes. They're self-righteous. It's the righteousness that they impute to themselves. But the only righteousness that God accepts is his righteousness. So we must be clothed in his righteousness, and his righteousness is Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ in you is the hope of glory. We're supposed to put on God like they did in the very beginning, like clothing. The glory of God was on Adam and Eve. Amen. And in Christ, amen, we receive a garment, hallelujah, of salvation. So we were made to worship him. And the Lord is certainly worthy of our service. Can you say amen? And I want to read from, this is a New Living Translation, but this is Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way you think. Amen. By the renewing of your mind, right? Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So guys, if we want to be in bed with the world, we're not going to know the will of God for us. You can't serve two masters. You have to come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord, right? And He will receive us and as sons and daughters. Hallelujah. That means we repent. Amen. We were running in the wrong direction. We've turned around and we're now running towards God. Amen. We're seeking the Lord every day and waiting on Him, listening to His voice, and asking the Lord to help us. He'll give us the grace we need, but we have to commit ourselves. That means give our bodies back to Him as a living sacrifice. It's our reasonable service based on everything He's done for us. And really, I think this can be summed up, this chapter, as all creatures in heaven and earth praise the Lord. Amen? And honor God for the fact that He is the Creator and the sustainer of everything, you know? So, not only is He the Creator, but He's the sustainer. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Oh, Jesus is God. Amen. He's deity, creator, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Doing what? Upholding all things, or sustaining everything, by the word of His power. Hallelujah. So why are we so worried about life and things? You know, God's got it, man. He's the one that keeps it together. We try to keep ourselves together, but I know sometimes if I don't lean on the Lord, I can fall apart like anybody else, right? Come undone. Well, the word of God brings you together, amen? He completes you. He sustains you. He keeps you. Sometimes, man, you feel like, I just can't go any further. I can't go on any further. But God will pick you up. What you need to do is say, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm trusting in You. Lord, You said You wouldn't leave me nor forsake me. I'm holding You to Your promise because You're not a man that You would lie. I believe Your word is true, Lord. And therefore, I know that You hear me when I cry and that You're going to answer. You're going to intervene and You're going to meet my need. You're going to rescue me from whatever it is I'm oppressed with right now or dealing with right now or the stuff that's weighing heavy on me or the things that I'm worrying about. I'm going to cast all my cares upon You because You're the one who can sustain me. Amen. And God gives us His word, hallelujah, again, as our sword or our weapon against the enemy to keep him out of our hair. Amen. And from tormenting us and torturing us and telling us things that are not true, things that God wouldn't say about us. You're worthless. You're ugly. You're stupid. Nobody cares about you. Ever heard that voice before? Maybe one of them? Well, we say, speak to the hand, devil. I'm going to listen to what God says. Amen. In Christ Jesus, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, I've been born again, right? I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. I'm a royal priesthood. Amen. So, what do you think? Hallelujah. That's a little bit. Thank You, Jesus. All right. Father, I just thank You for Your word tonight, Lord. And I thank You for my brothers and sisters. And I thank You for, Lord, the fact that You are with us and that You're for us. And Lord, that You would even contend with us at all, that You'd even care. But You do care. You do love. And it was Your idea, Lord, to come to this world and to become our sacrifice, Lord, and to pay a price that we deserve to pay, that we might go free, that we might have eternal life, Lord, with You. And that we might be able to, Lord, be with you in glory in heaven in this beautiful place that we read about and we hear about. And Lord, we're looking forward to the day when we see you, because heaven wouldn't be heaven without you, to see you in all of your glory in that day, Lord. And God, we want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, Father, grant us the grace, grant us the strength, grant us the help we need, Father. Purify your bride, purify your people, make us holy for you, Lord. Make us ready, God, that our body, soul, and spirit will be preserved blameless before you at your coming. Lord, that we will receive that crown of righteousness, that crown of victory. Lord, that we've run a good race like Paul and say, we've kept the faith. We fought the good fight. We hadn't given up, Lord. We're just asking you for help. Lord, strengthen each one of us.